5 minutes past 10 a.m., and you are listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville, and www.ksco.com worldwide. I'm Aaron Bond with a quick look at your Central Coast weather forecast for today. And it calls for partly cloudy skies, highs in the 60s to mid-70s, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, increasing to 10 to 20 miles per hour during the afternoon time. Tonight calls for partly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 40s to mid-50s, west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Quick look at your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today. Winds west 5 to 15 knots, increasing to 10 to 20 knots with gusts to 25 knots in the afternoon time. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, swell northwest 2 to 5 feet every 10 seconds. 58 degrees here at the station in Santa Cruz. Stay tuned now for the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Aaron, it feels so good. It feels so good to be back home hearing your beautiful, beautiful voice.
Thanks, boss.
I mean, it's just, and it gets better and better. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, do you work on it? No. It just
I've been smoking lots of cigarettes.
Oh really?
I don't know.
That funny? It makes male and female voices better. Maybe I should start smoking cigarettes.
Don't do it. I'm not going to keep doing it.
Because I've always wanted to have a good voice.
You have a great voice.
No, I'm not fishing for compliments.
I know.
But thank you. It's a kind thing for you to say. But now, my parents raised me to be considerate. And that being the case, I have a duty to warn our audience not to get too close to the radio during the next 2 hours, because I returned from my vacation, unfortunately, with a little cold. But I think it's pretty much finished now. But just in case it's not, don't get too close to the radio, ladies and gentlemen, because I wouldn't want you to catch it, okay? I mean, it's just common decency, right?
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Okay, welcome to the Saturday special for, what day is this? Let's see, it was the 15th on Wednesday, 16th, 17th, it's the 18th of September, 2004. We're going to be on the air till 12 noon, and I want to, before I forget, thank the three wonderful broadcasters who filled in for me. And, you know, just when you thought you weren't going to have MZ to kick around anymore, I come back. I don't know.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, now they're supposed to, here's the where we would normally play the promo, but there's no promo today because it's an open mic program, so we're just going to go directly into the crossfire here. See that? All right, so, yeah, my understanding is first week I was gone, Rob Roberts filled in and tore up the radio station. I understand it was a really lively program. Thanks to Rob, always a great broadcaster. The next week, September 4th, I guess, Dave Allen was on with, getting back into the saddle slowly but surely, and had a couple of great guests. Thanks, Dave. And last week, Charles Friedman and Neil Coonerty did a really fine program about what it means to be a patriot. And I heard bits and pieces of that program via recorded form, and it just made me really proud. So thanks very much to all of you for filling in. What are we going to do today? Well, in the radio business, we have something called a tease. And beginning in hour number two, we are going to have a couple of guests here in the studio who are going to be duking it out on the subject of Bush versus Kerry. Okay, I know that's all everybody's talking about, but that's all people want to talk about. And then related or ancillary subjects like Rathergate. Hey, when I was away, I understand this whole thing with Dan Rather broke, and it reminded me of the Vietnam War era. I think I must have been 18 or 19, And I was not, definitely not, a Nixon fan. In fact, you know, I wasn't a radical, you know, leftist, but I voted and acted, you know, predictably as college students would back in those days. And, you know, I couldn't stand Nixon. But I must say, when Dan Rather was present at a news conference held by President Nixon, and I believe it was in 1968, it might have been 67, it was back then when, you know, how the president chooses the person to ask the next question, and he says, Mr. Rather, and the man says, Dan Rather, CBS News, and everybody starts applauding because Dan Rather is this young, vibrant, you know, really popular television broadcast journalist. And Nixon, in a rare display of humor, reacted to this reaction from the audience and said to Dan Rather, Mr. Rather, are you running for something? And I thought that was pretty funny. It was the first time I had ever heard anything, you know, resembling humor coming from that relatively humorless President Nixon. And I thought that was pretty funny. But then, do you remember what Dan Rather said when in answer to that question? He said, "No, Mr. President, are you?" Now, again, I was a Dan Rather fan then, as was most of the country, and I was not a Richard Nixon fan. But Dan Rather lost a lot of points with me that day because I thought that that was really snotty and disrespectful to the president. Now, does anybody remember that? Am I the only one? I haven't heard anybody talk about that, but that was the beginning of you know, some sort of a little hint of, if you look back that far, of less than, I don't know, you know, when you're away from the microphone for a while, you forget your vocabulary, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. So back then, Dan Rather, I think he was sort of biased then, and I started thinking that way back then. So it's interesting. It'll be real interesting to see how this thing plays out. You remember KSCO audience? We had a program a number of years ago called "Keeping the Faith" with Pastor Steve and Rabbi Andy. It was a real fun, lively program that discussed religion. Well, out of the blue, when I returned from my vacation and checked my email, there was a email from Pastor Steve Jordahl himself. And it turns out, I haven't heard from Steve in probably, you know, 8 or 10 years, and he is now working as a producer for the Focus on the Family with Dr. Dobson in Colorado Springs. And he called me or sent me an email asking if I would give him a soundbite about what I thought about this whole Dan Rather situation as an independent broadcaster. And he says, and I said, well, I don't know. I don't know all that much about it, but I'll certainly, you know, I'll certainly try to answer a question with some reasonable intelligence. And he said, look, if Dan Rather was working for you, you know, at KSCO, for example, and something like this had happened, what would you do? And I said, ooh, geez, I said I'd probably fire him. And the reason I said that is because it seems to me that, you know, an awful lot of credibility is lost, and when you're doing news, credibility is all you've got. So what do you think? Give us a call, 479-1080 or 477-1340. It is the Saturday special. Open mic with MZ, and so tell me, Aaron, you were here for all of the last 3 weeks, pilot in command, right?
Yeah.
So tell me, I heard bits and pieces of the programs, and I was sort of entertained and amused when you decided you were at your wit's end. I forget which program it was, but you said you don't want to take any calls from people who want you to put stuff up on the screen anymore or something like that. What's that all about?
Well, people call in and they don't want to go on the air. And if it's a comment that has to, you know, if whatever it is, if they have a comment about the program,
yeah,
and it's an either or, if it's just a statement, a one-liner, you know, I don't mind doing that. But people call up and they want me to just type up this whole tirade, you know, and not only is it ridiculous for the talk show host, because then they look up at the screen and they see something stupid about how they're doing a terrible job,
uh-huh,
you know, and they're like, okay, I read it, I hope you're happy, you know, and then, you know, not only is it bad for the talk show host, but I'm usually busy during this shift, and I don't have time to go up and write 15 paragraphs by people that would rather complain off the air than to the talk show host.
Well, I think that should become a station policy now. Now, it was fun and cute for many years for people to call and tweak the talk host by having the call screener put something up on the screen. But you know what? I think you're right on, and I applaud you for putting your foot down and saying, hey, we're not going to do that anymore. Or
thanks.
At least you're not going to do that anymore. So anyhow, so did you enjoy the programs?
I sure did. You know, I never met Rob Roberts before.
Uh-huh.
I thought he was just a really nice guy.
Oh.
You know, I'd heard that, you know, his whole black and conservative and whatever the other thing is, strong or whatever. He's got that commanding presence, you know. And I was kind of waiting for someone to, you know, I thought he would be maybe kind of a jerk or something, but he was just the nicest guy. He showed me pictures of his boys and, you know, just a beautiful family, a beautiful guy.
That's great. And then Dave Allen did a program, I think.
Yeah. I love Dave. He's great.
It's just wonderful for him to be, you know, coming back.
I was glad to see him sitting there.
And he was here in the studio,
mm-hmm,
right? Yeah,
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Friedman and Neil Coonerty had a great intelligent discussion here last week.
Yeah, they were great. The whole thing was, you know, it didn't get out of control. Sometimes when they have the, you know, opposite viewpoints, people tend to flip out and get all red in the face.
Yeah, like what will probably happen next hour. No, I shouldn't say no.
Hopefully, no.
Yeah, well, I'll tease that a little bit later. Also coming up this hour will be Kay's latest commentary. We normally would play that right at the top of the hour number two, but I think we'll do that in just a few minutes. But let's take our first couple of calls to the Saturday special right now. Let's take Neil in Salinas and welcome him to KSCO. Neil, you're on the air.
Good morning and welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
Well, great topic. Everybody's been jabbering about it all week, so your listeners finally have a chance to put their two cents in. And the thing you mentioned about rather being so snippy to President Nixon, there's no question about that. That's
did you happen to remember? Did you see that back then?
It's been so long that I don't remember whether I saw it or whether I just recall other people's description of what happened. But supposedly what caused Nixon to do that line is that rather was giving him a hard time.
No, that's not true at all.
Well, that's...
Yeah, no, whoever told you that was wrong. no, it was simply... Nixon was just exhibiting a tiny little bit of good humor.
Okay, but what
amazing.
Would... My question to you, then, is what was the motivation? In other words, in order for a responsive comedy line to be effective, it's got to be... There has to be a catalyst. It's a response to something. Nixon was responding specifically
you know,
to what?
I think I said something when I described it a few minutes ago that was not quite correct. I said that the president picked Dan Rather, and maybe that's not what happened. I think what happened is that the cameras went to Dan Rather, and Dan Rather stepped up to the microphone and said, "Dan Rather, CBS News." And as soon as he said that, everybody started applauding because he was real popular. He was probably as popular as Walter Cronkite. And it was that reaction of the crowd that made President Nixon react the way he did.
Okay,
and when he asked, "Are you running for something?" And they said, "No, Mr.
That.
President, are you?"
Yeah.
So
well,
I
are
remember
you
a- it vividly, and I saw it several times.
Are you aware that Rather... was equally, if not more, snippy and disrespectful to the elder Bush?
No, but it doesn't surprise me at all. Because I think people know, people who pay attention and who care can see bias in journalists.
Except people on the left. When I have a chance to visit Santa Cruz and talk with the locals, and if it gets to any discussion of which way the media leans, the response I typically get is, oh, no, the media is, I think it leans to the right. And
talk radio, commercial talk radio, definitely does lean to the right. There's no question about that. And the other kind of liberal talk radio that there isn't very much of in commercial land, in commercial radio land, there's plenty of liberal talk radio. It's called National Public Radio, or
NPR. Absolutely. After the invasion of Iraq, I was listening to NPR, and they were interviewing two Congress people about America's invasion, and one Democrat and one Republican. And the Democrat was against the invasion from months before it occurred. It was a female. I wrote her name down at the time, but I don't recall it. But wait till you hear this. The Republican was one of the few Republicans that was against the invasion.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's typical of what NPR would consider balanced. And there's a network, which I'm sure you heard of, called Radio Pacifica.
Yes.
They are
KPFA.
Whirling dervishes of anti-American loathing. And the local NPR station.
Well, our good friend Jerry Brown, who made a 1 year, 18-month foray into commercial talk radio about 10 years ago, we were an affiliate. KSCO was an affiliate, and we were his best affiliate. I think he made it to about 30 radio stations, and most of his calls, probably 90% of them or more, came from KSCO. And I guess he decided that it just wasn't quite, you know, the right venue for him, and that's where he went when he quit his commercial talk radio gig. He went to Pacifica, which was KPFA in Oakland, in Berkeley, and I guess that sort of helped him get elected mayor. Maybe not. He probably would have gotten elected mayor anyhow because of the name recognition.
To give your listeners a taste who aren't familiar with either NPR or Pacific Radio, the day that they tore down the statue of Saddam Hussein and most Iraqis were celebrating in the streets, the nationally syndicated Radio Pacifica show, which is called Democracy Now!, they were interviewing doctors to describe in detail the gross wounds that children had received during the combat.
Okay.
Well, now, but to get back to Dan Rather, if we might, in the remaining seconds, his big set-to with the elder Bush, which I thought was even more interesting than his disrespect of Nixon, was he kept hammering President Bush on the Iran-Contra thing. And by that point, it was old news, but he kept hammering and kept hammering. And Bush responded to his credit by saying, well, I don't want my entire career to be judged by that one event, no more than you would want to be judged by the time you walked off the set in Houston. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that was about the most unprofessional thing a broadcaster can do, to just cop an attitude and walk off the set and give the... leave the station with a dead air.
Yeah, we've had that happen a time or two here at KSCO, actually. But
well, incidentally, Rather's response to this was to immediately stop the interview. In other words, like most people on the left, they can dish it out, but they can't take it.
Yeah. Well, I was watching Bill O'Reilly, who we carry on this station live from 9 to 11 a.m. Weekdays. And I was watching his television, The O'Reilly Factor, on Fox News Channel last night, and he showed a 3-plus-year-old interview with Dan Rather and said that Dan Rather might be coming on to the program next week. He's certainly been invited, hasn't said no, so that's probably a good sign.
Well, he had Michael Moore on there as well, but he gave Moore a bunch of softballs, and I think what you're describing would be a ratings coup, but Dan Rather would not go on the O'Reilly show unless he was convinced that O'Reilly was going to treat him civilly and respectfully, unlike the way Rather treated the two presidents we discussed. By the way, O'Reilly has been so easy on Rather that more conservative people have...
I know. People are getting disgusted with O'Reilly.
And the best analysis I heard so far is that the reason why O'Reilly is letting him skate on this thing, preferring to believe that, well, he may have been duped or something, but he didn't, compromise himself, blah, blah, blah. But the best analysis I heard is that Rather's on his way out. He announced his retirement in about a year, and O'Reilly may have a shot at it.
Oh, and so he doesn't want to. He wants.
Well, think about it. If O'Reilly goes after CBS,
it would be nice for Rather to anoint him, as it were, as he himself was anointed by Walter Cronkite. Huh?
Possibly, but the CBS brass, I don't think, would look upon O'Reilly as a viable candidate if O'Reilly spent several weeks attacking the credibility of CBS News.
Uh-huh. Okay. Steve Hartman's in the studio, or in the radio station here, and he wrote a note saying Rather is under contract till 2006. So a little more than a year anyhow. So, hey, Neil, thanks very much for calling.
You're very welcome.
Good to hear from you. Our next caller on the Saturday special will be Mike in Watsonville, also about Dan Rather. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah,
you're on the air.
It kind of doesn't have as much to do with Dan Rather as it has to do with the afternoon show that I heard yesterday. And swirling, right? This is Mike Swirling.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I love your station. So
Thank you.
I leave messages and stuff sometimes. And that's a great tool, by the way, for people to leave messages.
Oh, you mean the 429-2222?
Yeah.
That it's a real easy number to remember, and you do speak to me directly because I check it periodically. In fact, I've got a great setup through Quicksilver voicemail service where, and I got to tell you about this. This is amazing. I'm sorry if I'm knocking you off the track.
You own
here,
the station. Go for it.
When someone calls 429-2222 and they leave a voicemail message, I don't have to remember to check the messages, because what happens is it automatically turns the voicemail into an email that gets sent to my email, which I check all the time. I mean, I live and breathe and eat and sleep with email. And so if someone wants to send me an email directly, it's mz@ksco.com. Or if they want to send me an email by just picking up the phone, they just call 429-2222. And it's amazing. And anybody can have this service. It's like, it's ridiculously inexpensive. I mean, it just blows my mind. But call Quicksilver voicemail at, I think it's 425-5211 or something like that.
That plug in.
Yeah. And they're not even an advertiser, but I'm telling you, I really enjoy it. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. I like that we can leave messages directly to you. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But anyways, yesterday on the afternoon show, I think it was Bill Graff who had Millie on from, I don't know where she's from, but she was going on and on, kind of like how whoever gave those papers to Dan Rather passed that on. Bill let Millie go on and on about how Laura Bush had killed somebody, you know, driving a car, and she wasn't sure if it was a man or a woman, or if it happened this time or that time. You know, just really, really hurtful information, and mm-hmm. she was just allowed to spew it and, mm-hmm. and just go on and on. That kind of made me, that kind of made my blood boil. And
I can understand that. It's we get a lot of criticism that we let callers stay on too long instead of move on quicker, but. We will move on quicker if there are more callers.
Yeah, I understand that. And then about Savage and O'Reilly, Savage, you know, Savage is a turkey, man. He just wants O'Reilly's ratings. He'll say anything about anybody. I mean, he screams every night about anybody. But anybody famous that'll get him ratings, you know, that'll help his radio show do a little bit better, he'll take it.
Savage will self-destruct someday because he gets so emotional.
Yeah,
he'll stroke out or something.
Yeah, well, he's really emotional. That's probably what it is, because he's not a dumb person. He's just too emotional, and he starts saying stupid stuff. And Bill O'Reilly, criticizing Bill O'Reilly ain't gonna hurt his ratings at all.
Right.
That's just my 3 cents worth.
Okay,
thanks.
Hey, Mike, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling. Hey, open lines at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Give us a call. Dave Allen had a guest named Jordan Maxwell, and a listener wants to know who he is. So, well, maybe Dave will call in here in a little bit and let us know. In the meantime, let's go to K's latest and greatest, okay? It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, with MZ and the Saturday Special at 10:30, back in about 4 minutes. Stay with us.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
The other evening ushered in the 10 most important days of the year for Judaism, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and concluding with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That day, Jews examine their past behavior toward their fellow humans and attempt to make amends with those they may have wronged. This 10-day period is known as the Days of Awe, because that's when God judges our past actions toward one another. Because Judaism is a religion mainly of ethics, and because it does not proselytize or seek converts, its philosophy rather respects however or not one chooses to believe in a higher being. In this spirit, I would like to share one psalm and one prayer from the High Holy Days prayer book, which people of various faiths and convictions will relate to, because our world today is very troubled, and everywhere can be seen negativity. Hopefully, many may find comfort in the following. This is called Psalm 15. Quote, "Do we deserve to enter God's sanctuary? How can we merit a place in His presence? Like this. Live with integrity. Do what is right. Speak the truth without deceit. Have no slander upon your tongue. Do no evil to your fellow man. Do not mistreat your neighbor. Spurn a contemptible person, but honor those who revere the Lord. Never retract a promise once made, even though it may bring you harm. Lend no money at usurious interest. Accept no bribes against the innocent. Make these deeds your own, then shall you stand firm forever." And now a prayer for our country. Our God and God of our fathers, we ask your blessing for our country, for our government, for its leaders and advisors, and for all who exercise just and rightful authority. Teach them insights that they may administer all affairs of state fairly, that peace and security, happiness and prosperity, justice and freedom may abide in our midst. Creator of all flesh, bless all the inhabitants of our country with your spirit. Then citizens of all races and creeds will forge a common bond in true brotherhood to banish all hatred and bigotry, and to safeguard the ideals and free institutions which are our country's pride and glory. May this land be an influence for good throughout the world, uniting all people in peace and freedom. And thus we say, Amen. For KSCO and KOMY, this is K's Whirling.
Hear, hear. Wow. That's something new and different, I guess. It is now 25 minutes before 11 a.m. It's hour number one of the KSCO Open Mic Saturday Special for this day, the 18th of September, 2004. Give us a call at 479-1080 or 477-1340. You can drive the program with your topics, or if you prefer, we could talk about Dan Rather or the election, which we will be talking about next hour with a couple of interesting characters that that I came across this last week, shortly after I returned from a vacation. So, but for right now, let's do our commercial break for this hour, okay? And tell you that you're listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, and we'll be back in a little bit, so stay with us.
Start making time behind the wheel, quality time, for Kia Sorento, the SUV that offers you more is less than you think. Sorento starts at under $20,000 and offers a 3.5-liter V6, 66 cubic feet of cargo capacity, and one of the most well-appointed interiors on the road. More SUV, more that's what I'm talking about. But Kia Sorento, welcome to more. MSRP for base model is $19,635, including freight, excluding taxes, title, license, options, and retailer charges. Actual prices set by retailer.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Here's the bad news. Credit card companies are charging up to 22% interest these days. Now the good news. If you're a homeowner, there's a good chance that you can save a lot of money on credit card debt with a tax-deductible mortgage loan, even if your credit rating is low. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. We would love to help you save money by consolidating credit card debt with a new home mortgage. Please call us at Pacific Inland today, 475-2600. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Well, I guess we're back 22 minutes before 11 a.m. It's the Saturday special with MZ, and Aaron Bond is pilot in command, as always, doing a wonderful job here at the radio station. And we are entertaining your phone calls talk about topics of your choosing, 479-1080 or 477-1340. I'm going to make a stab at being a great broadcaster like Steve Hartman, okay? I'm going to start just having some background music here. I hope I've selected something that doesn't have a vocal in it. And just sort of just start cruising along here. So what's this? Oh, Dave Allen did call. Okay. All right, Dave. Let's put Dave on. Hey, you're on.
Hey.
How are you?
The super fly music.
Yeah, okay. What you doing?
Sound like the 70s.
Did you enjoy being on the radio last week? Or whatever it was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Severe irritating things, but you know, I lived.
Yeah.
Somebody asked about Jordan Maxwell.
Yeah.
He has a website, www.jordan.com. J-O-R-D-A-N, Maxwell.com.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, he's made the last 45 years of his life, he's a theological and comparative religion researcher.
Uh-huh.
Also, his work's mostly on ancient symbols and symbolisms of what make up the horse pucky we call religion.
Uh-huh.
And most religions, pure myth and horse pucky. Sorry, folks. Grow up, snap out of it.
Now, that's a terrible thing to say, Dave.
Nope, the truth, you know, can I say. We've all been ahead. Also, Michael, when you get time, I have some extrapolating new information on DVD about the World Trade Center. Nothing to do with Michael Moron, but you ought to watch it. It'll curl the hair.
Okay. Yeah, my hair has been it's been said by many that it's too straight, so it could use some curling. Dave, thanks very much, and thanks for filling in the other day. KSEO's Dave Allen. Now let's go to Mark in Watsonville. Invite other callers at 479-1080 or 477-1340. Hey, Watsonville, Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Since you said it's open subject, I want to bring up something that is getting very little local media attention, but it's very important.
Let's do it.
The major trauma hospital in downtown San Jose shut down last week. The
Which one's that?
I don't know the name.
Not O'Connor.
No. The minutes. Muni Hospital's been down there like 100 years. How it affects us is that was the trauma center for downtown San Jose, so the outlying trauma centers are picking up the slack. Well, they have just notified Santa Cruz, Monterey, and San Benito County that we can no longer send trauma patients over the hill to Santa Clara County. So when you see the helicopter picking up someone from a car wreck and flying over the hill, that will no longer happen. And that entailed 300 patients last year, almost one a day, taken to the Santa Clara County trauma centers. And we do not have a trauma center in Santa Cruz County. Dominican Hospital has an emergency room, but they are not staffed.
What's the difference, Mark?
Well, one, specialized staffing such as a neurosurgeon, say you put your head through the windshield. We have no one on call here as a neurosurgeon for emergency. So if you hit your head hard and you have some brain damage, you're pretty much out of luck here in Santa Cruz County.
Wow.
Yeah, and that is why you read about a stabbing victim, a shooting victim. They would bring the helicopter in and fly him over the hill, and that as of yesterday has been shut off.
Well, obviously it was shut off things like that don't get shut off unless it's for some economic reason, I would imagine.
Well, it goes back to economics. The reason the main hospital shut down in San Jose is due to a large number of non-paying, uninsured patients. It finally got to the point they were losing $12 million a year, so economically they could no longer sustain that hit. So, it's the same thing that's happening in Natividad in Salinas. They ran up to 85, 86, 87% of their patient load was either uninsured or covered through Medi-Cal, which does not pay anywhere near the cost of services. So it's something we're seeing all through the state of California is people utilizing the medical services and not paying the bill. But now it's coming back to affect all of us in that if we or someone in our family has a serious accident, they're telling the local emergency rooms, well, you're going to have to make do with what you have, and that's that, and no longer will they be flying you over the hill to Santa Clara County.
So this is just a for-your-information type thing, right? It's not as if there's anything anybody can do about it, huh?
Well, it's for your information. It's also a reality check, I think it's something we're going to see, the effects of coming up pretty soon, and it's going to be tragic.
Yeah. Oy vey, hey, you got a good joke for us or something, Mark?
After that, all my joke making capabilities have pretty much eluded myself.
Well, then let me invite others to call with a joke. I mean, that's very sobering information that you called in with, and I guess.
And it's amazing how the local media is just ignoring it. I've watched the news and I read the two local papers, and where I found about it was in the San Jose Mercury. And they said, well, you people in the outlying three counties, you're basically out of luck at this time.
Yeah, well, it sure sounds like. Anyhow, you're obviously right. It does impact us. If that was our only trauma center, which is our closest one, that's a shame.
That is it. And,
yeah.
Stanford handles San Mateo County, but Stanford does not usually handle anyone out of Santa Cruz County.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay, folks, well, drive carefully. don't have any major accidents.
See, now that's good advice. That's good advice. Okay, it's a Saturday special. Thank you, Watsonville, Mark. Great to hear from you. If you want to give us a call at a quarter before 11, the number to use is 479-1080 or 477-1340. And we've got an hour number two coming up. We call it a tease in radio land. We have something that's a little different. We don't know how it's going to come off, but right now I believe we have a caller on line four. Who would be? Who is this? Hello?
This is the great Ben.
The great
Ben.
By the way,
where did you go on your vacation, if you don't mind saying?
Okay. I went to Copenhagen.
Oh, hey, you know.
And then I went to Foulmouth.
Huh?
Foulmouth.
Okay.
And then I went to Dover. No, I went to Dover first, then I went to Foulmouth.
Okay, well, then you say...
Then I went to Dublin.
Okay, well, hey...
Then I went to...
Mr. World Traveler. Okay, we only got an hour.
Now, wait a minute, Ben. You asked, and okay. It's only... So I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more.
Okay, go.
There's a lot more. Okay, then I went to... I went from Dublin to Scotland... And then I went from Scotland to Belfast, Northern Ireland. Then I went to Iceland, Reykjavik. And then I went to Greenland, and Qaqortoq. And then I went to St. John's, Newfoundland. And then I sailed into New York Harbor and felt just like the original immigrants to our country must have felt. I mean, swelling with pride.
Good to come home.
When the, you know, when you see the Statue of Liberty, you know, coming into view. In fact, I got goosebumps when I looked at the video that I shot with my little handy cam. And it's such a neat little piece. I'm going to see if I can take that video. I could lift that off the DVD camera and maybe stick it up on the KSCO.com website, because it's got God Bless America playing in the background. It's really powerful.
And those feelings you exemplify are exactly why we all say God Bless America. That is all good Americans, not the rest of them. But before I make my comment, I would be remiss, and we are all remiss, and not sending our condolences and respects to Mr. the family of Mr. Ted Jefferson.
Yeah, you know what, Ben?
Yes.
Just, I had it all planned, okay?
I'm sorry.
So, you know, that's not the time. Do you have anything else to say now?
Yes, I do. Okay, now to get to my two relevant comments, and I'll try to be brief. Laura Bush got drunk, ran a red light, and her boyfriend was killed in the accident. Millie did not make that up. And Laura Bush was at a rally yesterday supporting her husband. A woman stood up, pulled off a shirt that she had on, and showing a picture of her dead son who had just gotten killed in Iraq, and saying, and the T-shirt said, "George Bush, you killed my son." Laura Bush, the compassionate conservative missus, she had the lady arrested. Now, if Laura Bush had been wearing a T-shirt with her two dead daughters in coffins killed in Iraq supporting daddy's war, I think it would be very distasteful to arrest a grieving mother, regardless of the political decision. So Laura Bush is a Stepford woman. She's no saint. And another thing that Republicans hate to admit, since they love the truth, so much, besides what Bush is doing to the country, it is well told in The Divorced Wife of Neil Bush that they're doing gaggers and all kinds of lines up at Camp David. George Bush, sir, and this is...
Okay, enough. See ya. I'm sick of it. I'm sorry. I own the radio station. I get sick of listening to Ben. He pissed me off. Don't call anymore, Ben. Joel and Aptosh, you're on the KSCO Saturday Special.
Okay. Now, I work at Valley Medical Center, and we have been talking about this trauma center closing for about the past 2 years. It's been common knowledge all over our hospital.
Right.
And I don't understand why there haven't been any preparations made here and why there hasn't been any discussion about it in the Santa Cruz area, because... I mean, this is obviously going to happen, and I know that when the ER at VMC gets to a point where they'll have just code red, and they will physically not be able to take anybody else, and they'll send them to other hospitals regardless of what kind of equipment they have, and only take the absolute most severe cases. So, like, if you're just only bleeding profusely or something like that, they'll just have to send you to, like, O'Connor or Good Samaritan or whatever. So this is something that's been common knowledge, and all of a sudden everybody's freaking out about it, and you know, it's
well, just one person called the Saturday Special because he was amazed that no one is even talking about it over here.
I'm amazed too, because we've been talking, because you know, it's been a big topic of discussion at work at Valley Medical Center, because we knew that was going to affect. I work I work in the maternity, and, you know, we know that emergency labors and stuff like that, I mean, you know, are not only will the ER be affected, but labor and delivery is going to be really affected. So it's going to be bad all the way around, and I don't know why we haven't done anything to prepare for this.
Right. Well, okay, well, I guess we're putting it out right now anyhow.
Yeah,
hey,
sorry,
you live in Aptos, huh, Joel?
Yes.
And you commute over the hill to...
Yeah.
And what do you do over there?
I work in maternity, which is where they go after labor and delivery, where the mom recovers and the baby nursery, where, you know, we get the baby all ready for life. So.
Right.
So, but yeah, it'll affect us too, because it's a trickle down effect, because when L&D is full, they legally have to take more moms. No matter, I mean, ER, they can turn away to others, but labor delivery, you have to take, and just figure. And if you run out of rooms in labor and delivery, you got to figure something out. You know, you maybe have to go to another part of the hospital. You may have to separate the mom from the baby, send the mom to to the general population while the baby's in the nursery, and then they can't be together because the baby can't be around, you know, other people with other illnesses, and more of this is going to be happening, and it's going to be a mess.
Wow. Any suggestions?
Well, about 2 years ago, we should have been getting ready for this. You know, it's kind of a little late now, so whatever. I mean, I have no suggestions right now, but whatever we do, there's going to be a couple of years of a lot of confusion and there's a good chance of some serious disasters, and, you know, there could be a few deaths and stuff. I don't mean to bring you back down again, but, you know, this is just kind of a reality.
Well, and we still haven't had anybody call in with a joke.
Okay, well, you know what?
Do you have any? You know, just for some levity, you know, to bring us up a little bit, you know. Even if it's a bad one.
Okay. What if it's a little nasty?
A little nasty is okay. Profane, no. I mean.
What do you do? This is probably an old one. What do you do if you drop your keys in San Francisco?
Tell me what.
Kick them over to Oakland. Okay. Is that better?
Much better. Much better. Okay. It's just, we're going to turn it into the Saturday joke special at 4-7. Thank you very much, Joel and Aptos. Great to hear from you. We should have billed this. We should have just said make it a joke special, okay, because things are getting too serious. Have you ever seen a time in our history where there's more a polarity, where people who have been friends for life suddenly become mortal bitter enemies because of Bush or Kerry, you know, right? I mean, isn't it absolutely amazing? I've never seen anything like it in the 52 years I've been alive. It just blows me away. I don't know, boy, I mean, there are the people that I know have such a vitriolic hatred for President Bush that they become irrational, and they focus on things that have absolutely nothing to do with anything, like Laura Bush ran over somebody when 50 years ago. I mean, what the hell does that have to do with anything? You know. Anyhow, I don't want the station to be used. It's low class. It's low class for this station to be used by those kinds of people. So I don't want you people calling KSCO anymore who think like that. You got to be clear thinkers to be given the privilege to speak on KSCO as a caller from now on. Okay, clear thinkers, no more muddled thinkers. Okay, from now on. Now, as an example, here let's have a clear thinker, Billy Sunshine. You're on the air.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more about the position we find ourselves in terms of our division in America today.
Uh-huh.
And the one thing I do remember the compassionate conservative saying when he ran was he would be a uniter, not a divider. So
okay.
Can we actually agree he did lie to us about that?
No. I won't agree that the president lied to us. I think he tried to be. And let me ask you this, Bill. Until 9/11, don't you think he was a uniter?
I think the best way.
Didn't 9/11 just change our whole world?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we were never more together than after 9/11.
And when he did, following that, squandered
all that togetherness. And I'm just trying to say that I believe that when people run, and this is probably true as Kerry as much as it is Bush, they simply don't tell the truth. They just say things. Bush said things like, here's how many jobs I'm going to make. Didn't happen. He didn't say, I'm going to try or we'll get close. He actually had a number. I've even heard the Kerry people say, over the next 4 years, we intend to make 10 million jobs. What a bunch of crap. You have no idea how many jobs you're going to make. This compassionate conservative thing certainly turned out not to be true. It's not compassionate to tell science, you can't do your work anymore. We're going to go with superstition. Do you think that's compassionate, Michael?
No, I don't. I think he's wrong there. I don't think he should be blocking stem cell research.
Exactly. And I think if we look again and again, we find...
He doesn't block stem cell research because I know we're going to get calls on that. As I understand it, what he still to this day is opposed to is the diversion of any kind of federal funds to support stem cell research.
However,
and I think that's wrong. If there was ever something that federal funds should be used for, I think that's something.
Another thing we can agree on. Isn't it amazing? So that's sort of the thing that, you know, when you bring up this division, I really do think Bush is responsible for a lot of it.
And he promised
just the opposite.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
All right, see ya. There goes Bill Sunshine himself. Ace and Live Oak, you're up next on the KSCO special. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, I just couldn't resist one little joke. I have a joke and a comment, but the joke is, and that's what I promised, and it's not a very good joke, but I thought it was funny. Is that you know that they're all busy writing political books. You know, among the other political jokes, there is the book called Fortunate Son. I understand that there's a whole other group that could put out a book called Fortunate Husband.
Oh.
I thought that was funny.
Right.
Anyway, my comment, and because I'm an electronic moron, I don't do all this funny research, so I just have to go by my own thoughts. And my own thought, which has just absolutely killed me, that nobody in authority ever brings it up, is the total lack of executive experience of this man running for the chief executive of the United States. Kerry can't run his campaign. How on earth they expect him to run the United States of America? I don't know. And then I read.
Well,
this.
I certainly can't argue with you, Asa.
Well, I don't want to. And then I pick up the Sentinel and say we've got a bunch of Santa Cruzes going to the Grand Canyon to try to register Democrats. And I think, I don't think we're well. I don't think there are people that actually look.
I like to go to the farmer's market in downtown Santa Cruz on Wednesday afternoons.
Yeah.
And recently. I went there and I saw Democrats register here, you know, for voting.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Well, are you only registering Democrats?" And he said, "Well, yeah, if you, that's what we prefer." But I suppose they could register anybody they want. If someone said, "I'm a Republican and I want to register," and they say, "No, I'm not going to take your registration." I mean, have they committed a felony and that's punishable by the death penalty, or is it perfectly fine?
It's their common behavior, and if you read the want ads in the paper, they advertise for help. It's all this MoveOn.org money. They can pay all kinds of money to hire people to go do these things, and they don't. The point is, I don't want to talk dirty about him. I just want to talk about the new book, Fortunate Son. I want to contribute to the book anyway. But the other thing is, I think somebody somewhere in the news hierarchy should certainly talk about this man's last 20 years of experience. He has been a nonentity for 20 years in the Senate. He's been nothing. He has nothing passed with his name on it. I don't think the Senate's passed anything that he has written. And he's running for president. The massive ego of the man to think that he could run for president. I don't know.
Before I went away on my trip, I was quite concerned that there was a very real possibility that Kerry would get elected just because there's so much hatred for Bush. And I've changed my opinion.
Oh, good.
I believe that Bush will win, and it I don't think it'll be a landslide, but it's not going to be close either.
Was nobody mean to you? How mean were the people? How were you? Did anybody kick you or spit at you while you were on your way?
No, I didn't. I made it a point not to talk about politics too much.
Did you go in disguise?
Excuse me? Oh, no. No, not at all. But, you know, outside of this area, I'm not even known. In fact, I'm not even known in this area. Asa, always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you for calling
anyway,
the Saturday
happy
special.
Days, and don't fall on your head.
Okay, I appreciate it. Our next caller is going to be Preacher, and we'll just tease the audience with you, Preacher. Hello, are you there?
Classic blessings for your mother.
Oh, thank
classic.
You. Okay, well, here, you know what? It's 11. Here's the news. We'll be back in 6 minutes.
Kurt Lewis reporting. In a lightning-fast overnight raid in southern Iraq, British troops moved in on the headquarters of the killer cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in the city of Basra. That's just the night after a British soldier was wounded during an ambush of a British patrol carried out by al-Sadr's militiamen. After the ferocious firefight in the Friday night darkness, the British found a mammoth cache of weapons, including mortar shells, Kalashnikovs, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. The remnants of Hurricane Ivan are still leaving a violent mark across the southeast and the Appalachians, where several people were killed by falling trees and floods that washed away scores of roads. Search teams are now scouring damaged areas for stranded residents. And now, what about Gene?
Tropical Storm Gene is another system we are monitoring as it continues to affect the southern Bahamas, but currently Gene is expected to remain a tropical storm. The track of this system is highly uncertain, so all residents along the southeastern U.S. coast need to pay close attention to Gene's track this weekend. I'm WeatherBug meteorologist Matt Milosevic.
And on top of the other weather headaches, more than a dozen tornadoes swept through the Washington, D.C. area late last night.
15, 20 seconds, a real loud sound that sounded like a freight train. And then it was over.
The remnants of Hurricane Ivan destroying several buildings, tearing off roofs of many homes in Virginia and in Maryland. There were no injuries reported, by the way. You're listening to USA Radio Network News.
You hear the words you have feared most of your adult life. You have cancer. Your mind and heart begin to race. What do I do now? Where can I turn? Where is God in all of this? The facts are that cancer affects one out of every five individuals. But the good news is it's not fatal for them all. Author Michael Berry's powerful new book, A Reason for Hope, Gaining Strength for Your Fight Against Cancer, is a timely source for those who are suffering or know someone battling cancer. A Reason for Hope will give you scientific evidence and biblical solutions to promote health and healing. From a strategic diet to insightful prayer and specific Bible reading, Dr. Harold Connick, Associate Professor of Medicine at Duke University Medical Center, says this book will help you want to live, fight to live, and understand what to live for. Author Michael Berry serves as chaplain at the local Midwestern Regional Medical Center. He knows firsthand the fear and pain cancer patients experience. A Reason for Hope, Gaining Strength for Your Fight Against Cancer by Michael Berry is available at fine bookstores everywhere.
When it comes to the U.S. mortgage industry, the feds are getting three times the reports of suspicious activity this year compared to 3 years ago.
The FBI has raised a red flag over mortgage fraud. The Washington Post citing an official as saying the crime has the potential to become a national epidemic. This is Franklin Brown.
And near Fort Lewis, Washington.
Our son is in Iraq.
And so Karen Judd and scores of others like her continue to come out every weekend as they have for these past 20 months. They're there to stand over a bridge on a busy interstate near the base to wave the flag and back what the troops are doing.
We just felt the need to be out here to support him and all the troops there are out there.
And not only family members who come to the bridge either, many veterans and other community residents are also involved. They say they'll continue out there until all of the troops have come home from Iraq. In fact, they're hoping to start chapters of support around the country outside other military bases as well. You're listening to USA Radio Network News.
Larry King here. You've heard me talk about Ester C. Well, now you can get more from your vitamin E. Introducing the advanced protection of Ester E from the makers of Ester C. Ester E's breakthrough form protects its antioxidant strength until your body is ready to use it. So do what I do and get more from your E. Take new Ester E. E-S-T-E-R-E. Are you getting advanced protection from your vitamin E?
And now, look for new Ester E where fine vitamins are sold.
Sloughing off fears about higher oil prices, Wall Street rallied Friday, sending stocks up, with the Dow leading the way with a 40-point gain to close at 10,284. NASDAQ gained 6 to close at 1910. The S&P 500 added 5 to finish at 1128.
Ford Motor helped drive stocks higher. The world's third largest automaker boosted guidance for the quarter and for the year, pointing to strength in its financial services division. In a bid to improve performance in its autos unit, Ford is closing a production plant for its high-end Jaguar brand in Britain, resulting in job cuts. Shares of Ford climbed about 2%. I'm Conway Gittins at the New York Stock Exchange.
And oil prices spiked upward nearly $2, almost a 4% increase, with October light sweet crude closing above $45 a barrel on the New York Merc. There's more news at USARadio.com. Kurt Lewis reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Less music, more talk.
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
It's now 5 minutes past 11 a.m. and you are listening to KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville, and www.ksco.com worldwide. I'm Aaron Bond with a quick look at your Central Coast weather forecast for today. And it calls for partly cloudy skies, highs in the 60s to mid-70s. West winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, increasing to 10 to 20 miles per hour in the afternoon time. For your Monterey Bay boaters forecast today, winds west 5 to 15 knots, increasing to 10 to 20 knots with gusts to 25 knots in the afternoon time. Wind waves 2 to 4 feet, swell northwest 2 to 5 feet every 10 seconds. It's currently 60 degrees here at the station. And if you are a friend or a fan, I should say, of the Leap to Faith program, wanted to let you know it will not be heard today. Its new time is Friday at 7 p.m. That's Leap to Faith with Charles Friedman, Friday at 7 p.m. on AM 1080 KSCO. Now back to the Saturday special with MZ.
Oh, you mean I'm on now?
The doctor of the future will give
I'm no on money. Now?
You're on now, boss.
Did you do the weather already and I just missed it?
You missed it. I thought you were listening.
God dang. You know, I mean, you were just so fast and smooth at what you do.
I am pretty smooth.
I just sort of, God, that's amazing. All right. Well, we are going to officially start hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special, and we can't start it. We can't start it unless it's real quiet in the studio here, and we can't start it unless we do it officially, like this.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, welcome to hour number two of your Saturday special for Saturday, the 18th of September, 2004.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Bye.
And I want to open hour number two with the sad news that we have lost a very special friend at KSCO, Ted Jefferson, the weekend rapper, the midnight rapper. Very wonderful person who was with us for quite a number of years as a regular talk show host. Ted suffered a very serious stroke several days ago, and he passed on the 16th, I see. Which was just a couple of days ago. He's survived by his wife and children, Cynthia, Michelle, Kenesha, and Felicia. The funeral for Ted Jefferson will be at Santa Cruz Memorial Park and Funeral Home across from Dominican Hospital on Monday, September 20th, 2004 at 2 p.m., services are open to the public, and donations can be directed to the Jefferson Fund at Comerica Bank in lieu of flowers. Please, funds will be distributed to various foundations in Ted's name. Ted will be remembered by his humility, wisdom, and heartfelt endurance. And I've got to say, I met Ted at a meeting at the Santa Cruz Public Library, and I think it was in 1991, if I'm not mistaken. It was a long time ago. And I forget what the meeting was, but it was at the library. It was upstairs in one of those meeting rooms, and he opened his mouth, and I knew that the guy was really special, and I walked up to him afterwards and introduced myself to him and said, hey, you know, I've got this radio station down near the lagoon, and I sure would like to hear you on it, because you're something special. And he really was, and he started working with us shortly thereafter, and he's been with us on and off over the years, but we're going to miss Ted, and when I get a chance to find some of the programs that Ted did on this station, there were some really good ones, we're going to put together some sort of a recognition or a tribute program, hopefully during the next week or two. But I want to be able to have time to find some of the stuff so that we can do it justice. So all of us at KSCO here extend our sympathies to the family of Ted Jefferson, and we're going to miss him. And he was a great guy. So such is life. 10 minutes past 11 a.m. on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. Michael Z with callers. We've got a couple of callers on the line. We're inviting more callers at 479-1080 and 477-1340. We actually have a couple of guests in the studio for this hour. I will be introducing them shortly. But right before we went to the break, we had a little tease from Preacher, who has waited over the break for us. Preacher, you're on the air.
Colossal. I last night heard your mother, and she had the answer.
Oh, okay.
As a matter of fact, I was ministered to by your mother in such...
You mean by listening to that commentary, you mean?
Boy, it was quite frankly the best sermon I've ever heard concerning the time and the place. And she brought me a sense of comfort and confidence, what I generally have comfort and confidence in. That she's on the right track. As a matter of fact, may I suggest mas, a little more of that encouraging eternal word.
Well, you know, it's amazing how so many people, what has happened to our society that we've gotten so far away from faith and religion and spirituality.
You might have been
it's prophecy. Almost that people are ashamed, and I don't understand why.
It's prophecy. God said it would happen.
Did he say it's going to end?
Well, what he says is this separates the men from the boys. There were two young men who worked for their father, and the first was asked to go to work for his father, and he said, no, I won't go, and then later repented and went to work for his father. And the second one says, yeah, I'll go, and never went. Okay, so the obstinate, later to realize that it was, you know, for his own good that he cooperate, was the one that was blessed. Okay, so may I say that God understands every complaint you're ever going to give him, and if you'd speak up and let him know how you feel, he'll work it out for you.
Hey, that sounds good to me. I've also got to say that after we played that, I thought that there would be more than one call, that being from you, commenting on it, but there have been nothing. Yours has been the only call, and I think that's also sort of interesting, because what does that say? People, if they're critical of it, I guess they're going to be ashamed to be critical of it, and maybe they're ashamed to say that they appreciate it like you did. I don't know.
Well, that's what I discovered out in front of the courthouse. In other words, where you think that there would be no acceptance, there's acceptance, and where you think there's acceptance, there's no acceptance. So who knows what, you know.
Well, thank you for your call.
Worked in the providence of God. But the one thing I will say is America happens to be a place that is very much blessed. And we'll work through our difficulties. And the thing I liked about Abraham Lincoln was he was faced with a challenge of a very divided place. And he said, stay tuned. You know, we'll work it all out. But we've always had challenges in America, and we'll overcome this challenge, and we'll look back on it and be proud we did.
Well, I sure like that attitude.
All right.
Thank you for sharing it on the Saturday special.
Thank you.
That was none other than Preacher. Here's Walt in Aptos. You're on the air, Walt.
Yeah. Say, you know, your mother recently did an editorial on Heinz.
On what?
Heinz?
Oh, yeah, Teresa Heinz.
Remember?
Did. Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay, now, she mentioned that the Heinz company has moved all of their facilities out of the United States.
I don't think she said they moved the facilities.
They,
I think,
well,
I think she said
they are
located, most of them are located out of the United States.
That's
and if he is elected, are they going to do anything to, whether he's elected or not, because it really has nothing to do with whether he's elected, are they going to move to bring the companies back here to this country?
Nobody talks about it. I listen all the time hoping somebody else will say something.
Uh-huh.
And no one else. And it's just a hot button as far as I'm concerned.
Uh-huh.
Somebody should talk about it. Some Republican or somebody should talk about it. Nobody discusses it. I like to believe your mother knew what she was talking about. That's all I'm saying is that I'm sorry that she's got the only one that aired it. But as far as the Republican Party, nobody says anything about it. And I'm sure that what she said is right.
Yeah, about being hypocritical. Yeah,
about. I'm just saying that she said something that to me was a hot button for the Republican Party, and if that can hit Clary right in the butt, it should hit him in the belly, not in the butt. But it should. But I think I would like to hear somebody else talk about it. I don't know. Maybe she can do something to air it so that maybe somebody will talk about it besides her. I think she does a great job for you.
Well, thank you very much, Walt.
Okay,
appreciate your call. Nice to hear from you. I think that's the same Walt who used to call quite often, call KSCO, and then was gone for a few years, and it's great to hear him back. That's great. Anyhow, it's 11:16, hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special on AM 1080. My name is Michael Z. We're going to be with you on this live interactive with our vast KSCO audience talk show right up until 12 noon today. Give us a call if you want to participate. The phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. I haven't given a fax line out in a while. We still do use faxes here around these parts. 475-2967 is the fax number to use if you so desire. And I suppose if you want to email me, yeah, I can bring that up on the computer. mz@ksco.com, mz@ksco.com. If you want to email us before the end of the program today, chances are I will see it and read it. But you can always call us, and that's what you should do on the talk radio station, 475-1080 or 477-1340. I got a couple of people. I guess we got Millie and Pat on the lines right now. But before we get to their phone calls, I'm going to introduce two in-studio guests. One of them is named Bob Seuss, and the other is named Lucio Fani. And Lucio Fani is somebody who has been on the radio station, who's been on KSCO once before. It was quite a number of years ago. Do you remember this great restaurant called Al Dente? It's an Italian restaurant that's an absolute show. It's not only is it a great place to eat, it's a great place to be entertained. And I don't know if you can remember the program that we did, what was it, about 5 years ago, something like that? Maybe it was probably 6 years ago, because I was still living in Capitola at the time, and that's how I got to become aware of this amazing Italian pasta restaurant that has this animated chef who's very, very personable and greets everybody by name and hugs everybody and kisses everybody. And there's nobody quite like this person. And the city of Capitola was giving him a real hard time. I don't know what they had. The music was too loud. I don't know. They were just making his life absolutely miserable. So one day, Lucio just said, screw it, I'm leaving. And where he left to was Santa Cruz, where things are a lot nicer for him in his restaurant on Seabright Avenue, which is right near the intersection of Murray Street, right near the Yacht Harbor or the Small Craft Harbor. So it is to this day that Lucio is putting on his shows and his cooking expertise before a lot of happy Santa Cruzans. And I got to say, after my 3 week long vacation, the first thing that I wanted to do was go eat at Lucio's at Al Dente. And so that's what I did. And you always find characters there, because besides Lucio himself, who is the ultimate character, sort of like KSCO and me, we sort of attract characters. I mean, that's what Lucio does there. And another character that that I met is named Bob Seuss. And Bob and Lucio are politically about as opposite as you can be, but they're very, very good friends. And I happened to walk in on a on an argument, a very, very heated argument about Bush versus Kerry between Lucio and Bob. And I said, this might be good on the radio. On the other hand, it could turn into a train wreck, because if it's as heated and as crazy and as loud as it was at the restaurant, nobody will be able to hear anything. So I asked them both if they would come on, but only if we could somehow keep order. And so let me introduce Bob and Lucio. Welcome back to KSCO, Lucio.
Thank you, Mike.
Welcome to KSCO, Bob.
Very nice to be here.
Yeah, and
where do you start?
Yeah, where do you start? Okay, do you both agree with me that never have you ever witnessed an election where people are more emotional, where it's more emotionally charged than this election?
Yeah, I think people is confused.
Yeah,
people you want to expect something very strong, positive for normal human being, you know. But here, everybody is confused. Nobody don't know what's happening. Everybody think Bush is okay, Kerry okay, but nothing happened for the people. Both I talked about before.
So you think people feel more disenfranchised now than ever before?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. People is isolated today.
So you're talking about confusion and disenfranchisement.
Yeah.
What do you see as the issue?
I see polarization.
Well, that's what I see, too.
I see a lot of people that just either have one thing on their mind that they don't like about Bush, and especially in this county, it's very liberal, left sort of speak. And I'm happy to be an independent, by the way, so that we know where I stand. And
so you can't really put you in a box. I mean, were you more liberal in your younger days?
Oh, sure. I think most of us were.
Uh-huh.
Then we grow up, right? Mm-hmm. That's the joke I tell at work, you know. But it seems to be like you can't have a conversation, it appears, without somebody getting into an argument or bad feelings, even at the workplace. And luckily, at our workplace in this county, I'm a teacher in the county, and we have certain guidelines that we need to deal with when we're talking with students.
Uh-huh.
So that we don't have controversial issues, and therefore keeping it maintained and showing both sides of an argument.
Sure, that's
and
very,
allowing
I think
them
that's very important.
Very important, and
yeah.
To allow the students to make the decision, not your opinion or your beliefs put on the children.
Bob, that brings to mind this question that I must ask. You and I met for the first time just the other night at the restaurant, right?
Right.
And so
yes.
You didn't know me. And I guess you listened to the station probably for the first time since then. And when we talked to confirm your appearance on the program today, when we talked on the telephone, mm-hmm. You were actually quite concerned initially about appearing because of your position at the school. And that was that part of the reason?
That was part of the reason. And, uh-huh. You know, I didn't want to have it where people were attacking each other. I like to have a conversation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is what we will do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be. It will definitely be orderly. But just because somebody is a teacher, okay, doesn't, in my mind, mean that they should be opinionless. If someone is a talk show host on a program that presents both sides, like this program typically does, the Saturday Special, I don't think that means that the host should not have an opinion. You know, I generally have a very strong opinion on one side or another of an issue that we cover, just about every issue that we cover on this program. But what I think is real important is that I bend over backwards, and it's the policy of the radio station to bend over backwards to expose all points of view. You know, and people have been critical of KSCO over the years. Santa Cruz leftist-leaning political people have been very critical of the radio station because they feel that we don't have enough hosts who are of the liberal or left persuasion. You know, never mind that we encourage people to call in, not if we're going to be saying stupid things like that caller last hour, you know.
Sure.
Anyhow, I don't know if my high school government teacher, Bob Listener, is listening. He generally does listen to the Saturday special, but I will take this opportunity to say that he was probably the most influential teacher of my education because, and I've said this before on the radio, when I was a senior in high school, the only reason I was taking American government was because I had to, or else I couldn't graduate. And the first thing Mr. Listener did was pass out a sheet of paper the first day of school and said, I want everybody to write down what they expect to get out of this class. And I wrote down nothing in great big letters. The only reason I'm here is because I have to be. And I'll be darned if, you know, by the end of the year, it didn't become my most beloved and interesting subject of my whole high school education. Was American government by Mr. Listener. And part of the reason is because he made it a point to expose us to all points of view. And he never gave us a clue of what his own political leanings were. He did a very, very good job of being just an excellent, excellent teacher in that regard. He would send us to see Dr. Stanley Monteith from the American Independent Party, the John Birch Society meeting one night. And the next night he'd send us to an ACLU meeting, you know. And so we never knew where Bob went. At the very last week of school, we saw Bob's name on the board of directors for the ACLU or something like that that told us for sure, oh, okay, this guy's from the left for sure. But and after he retired from teaching, it seemed like he didn't care what people, you know, it didn't seem to matter as much to him that people knew where his politics were. Anyhow, I think it's real important when you're a teacher to be neutral, or at least as far as your students are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, anyhow, you were concerned about that. I hope there isn't that concern right now.
No.
So what is it that drives you crazy about the Bush bashers?
The fact that they don't respect the man for his position as President of the United States.
Uh-huh. Did you hear this program last hour? Were you listening?
Yes, I have.
Did you hear me talk about Dan Rather?
Yes, I did.
And President Nixon?
Yes.
And how back in those days when I couldn't stand Nixon myself, but when Dan Rather exhibited disrespect toward the President of the United States, Dan Rather lost a lot of points with me.
I agree. I was not a Nixon fan either. In fact, I celebrated after he resigned. So, you know, but I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
Right. Yeah. Lucio, you obviously hope that Bush does not get reelected.
No. I'm not happy at all why I saw in 4 years this country go in hell.
Uh-huh.
I love you people. I love your kids. I want for these kids, not for me. Why I'm non-Americano. I don't go vote. I hope for my daughter. She's almost 18. I want these people to have a normal life. Not thinking about job, not thinking about school, no nothing, not cut this, not cut that. You know, all the time is a cut for war, for something, you know. It's only about business.
Uh-huh.
It's not about human being.
Uh-huh.
My point is all the time is about human being.
Well, so let me ask, it sounds to me like it's not so much against Bush you are than that you are against the whole notion of war. Maybe you're a pacifist. Maybe you're someone who doesn't believe in war.
No, I don't believe in war. Everybody know I have a war too. You know, I born after the war. Why? I born 1948, and my war finished 1945. Yeah, I want to see people when you don't have a food in the table, you don't have a shoe, or maybe you have a pair of shoe with a box in the, you know, in the shoe for walking. You know, America, I never saw this. You saw the poor immigrant come in America, right. You know, working hard, working hard, working hard, while everybody have a war. And today, everybody have a full stomach, everybody, the old people make money, the kids, you don't know the value of the money. And today, what's happening is, you know, the people, you have to realize, nothing is for granted, you have to give something to. But all the time here, the government is taken from us. You know, you don't take it from rich people. These people is already rich, you know. But all the time is for poor people. All the time people strangle. Oh, I don't have a job. Oh, I don't make enough money for pay rent. And this is a problem why people go killing, stress, abuse the pill, abuse everything. You know, it is a part of this government today. Mm-hmm. Before, a lot of people don't see why the economy is nice, everybody make money, everybody make a living. And today, everybody see. Nobody talk. Mm-hmm. Nobody express yourself. And when you express yourself, you cannot think, you know.
Well, economies or economics are cyclical. It's a cyclical phenomenon. There's good economies and there's bad economies.
Yeah, like Italy. Italia is bad all the time. You know, change government every single day. But, you know, Italia like America. You know, you have Berlusconi is a... You call in Italian newspaper filo americano, filo israeliano, you know, America manipulate everybody. You want to be number one country in the world, it can never be. You don't have to make the same mistake as the Roman Empire or the English, you know, when colony everybody and now you don't have nothing. America need everybody, any country in this world. You have to cooperate and give, not only take.
So,
you know.
So what you're saying is we need to not alienate.
Exactly.
We need to be friends with
be friends with everybody.
As many as possible.
Yeah, you can bring a McDonald's in Milano. It's okay. No problema.
Well, I don't think anyone will argue that point, you know, and I don't think anyone would argue that. I don't think there's too many people, and including President Bush, who is not. No, I don't think any of us are in favor of war. I mean, I served in the military. I was not in favor of war. But I got to tell you that I'd rather have the war fought over in some other country, if it has to be fought, than having people attack my country. If that's going to happen. We did not start this war originally, the war with the terrorists. That's what I'm talking about.
I have a good point. I have a question for you, Lucho. You are not a citizen of this country.
No.
Might you become a citizen someday? Or?
No.
Why not?
It's a lot of reasons. Maybe I'm old in age, young in spirit. I don't think today for every Americano go in Europe it be like a long time ago. I remember when I'm a kid, all the America come in Italy or in France or in Germany. Everybody have a red carpet. For Americano, everybody love Americano. Why? Like me, when I'm a kid, I remember my father told me, "Oh, he gave me cigarette, or he gave me chocolate." You know, American is you know, for a lot of people, interesting country. He give something for I don't know the reason. A lot of good stuff. You know, he bring Coca-Cola. You know,
this high regard for Americans probably had something to do with your moving to America, right?
Yeah, moving to America for me is a big shock. Why I moved at 38 years old.
Oh, you moved here when you were 38?
38.
Okay, and you're how old now?
Now I'm 56.
Okay, so it's 18 years ago that you moved to this country.
For my daughter.
So to give your daughter a better life, you think?
Or no, I came here 3 days before she born.
Oh!
But his mom Americana.
I see.
You know? I have the choice, you know, why I'm a good father. I love you, kids, you know. I like everybody. I have a spank, screaming, and make kids understand who is the leader. I saw in America sometimes the mama is non exist, is non a leader. The father maybe is too busy working, he don't know say the kids doing something wrong or no. Why is never communication, never talk, the same Bob told in school. You know, sometimes you have a, they have a authority, you know, tell the father, hey, your kids do this, and the father can tell, hey, I don't care, you know. This is very important for the society, for make everybody understand, you know, what's happening. You know, nobody here have a responsibility anymore. Only the government make people thinking, you know. And when I come here, I saw, I'm in the park with my little daughter, you know, you bring 10 toys, the 11 toys, the somebody else is better. You know, and the kids, ah, I want, give it to me. Uh-huh. No, you give it to spank in his butt. But this is normal in Italy. I grow up like this. I don't come in a criminal. I don't think my family abuses me. I'm a nice man, you know, a good father, you know. And the people, oh, I call police. They go, oh, my God, where I do wrong, you know. It is, I think, all, you know, is the society today, you know. It goes so fast, no make people thinking. All the time, the stress, now, what's happening 11 September, what's happening with the...
Lucho, you can't vote, but if you could... Would you vote for Kerry?
No, Kerry too. These two people, you know, I know for sure in my heart, is known about America. These people is in America. I don't know what you call puppet, marionette in Italiano. Cioè, you end the line, you maneuver these people. You know, think about how much $1 million these people spend, you know, for be elect from who, guy? With my money, with tax pay. You know, with Mike or with Bob money, or corporation people pay these people. Why? Okay, I want to know the reason. So you have to spend when the people starving, okay? I saw a lot of country in America with no job. Why all the job go overseas? I saw meal, you know, everywhere close, you know. And this money is a slap in the face of these people. And this is not like me, Italiano. These people, Americano, are working for so many years. And today they don't have nothing. No money, you know. No Medicare. No Social Security for go retire, you know. And this
You wouldn't vote for Kerry. Would you vote for Ralph
Nader? Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, I think this guy, too, is all the time involved in politico. No? Politico, for me, is like people call in Italia, hey, Italiano, mafia. Yeah, dico, the same politica. Everybody, I think, he knows. But sometimes people don't express himself and tell the truth. No? Nader is a guy in the middle, take a vote from somebody, give it to somebody else. This is my opinion. It's nothing to do. Say, want to run it for be president. Start running.
I'm trying to understand where you're coming from. Okay, who is there anybody for whom you would vote for president in the United States if you could? Is there anybody whom you admire and respect enough?
I don't vote for Schwarzenegger. I think everybody, see, this land of the free, everybody can be elect.
So
no,
you mentioned Governor Schwarzenegger. So you think that maybe you'd vote for him if he was...
No. Oh. I vote for normal guy. I can vote for the guy working in Watsonville and take apple.
In Watsonville who's picking apples isn't running. And our system, I guess, is such that such a guy probably can't run, unfortunately.
I know. Why not have money? But it's not fair. So everybody have a right to lend the freedom. They vote everybody want. You know, say somebody is a leader in this country with good... proposite with good sense, the love for the people living here. Hey, why no? Why have they have a $1 billion campaign? You know, and people starving in America. You know, in Italy you're starving. Yes, the politica, the soccer, but you have a good food, good wine, right. Enjoy life.
All right, it's the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. That voice belongs to Lucio Fani. We've got another voice live in the studio here besides mine. That belongs to Bob Seuss. Here's a fax that I was just handed a while ago. Mr. Zwirling, I hope you were serious when you told Ben not to call anymore. Usually I change stations until I think that clown has finished his rant. Ben bashes Laura Bush about a drunken driving accident that happened decades ago. So did Red Ted Kennedy. And you probably won't hear anyone saying his wife or any of his mistresses shouldn't hold political office. The woman at the Laura Bush rally wasn't arrested for wearing a T-shirt about her son. She was arrested for being disruptive. I really hope you're serious about banning Ben. I hope the doorknob hits him in the ass. And it's signed Brian Burleson. His number is 831-869-9932. If anyone wants to call Brian, I guess that's why he must have put his phone number there. Yes, I was serious. I'm sick of it. But we want to hear from a lot of callers today, and we do have quite a number of callers waiting. Is there anything that Lucho said that tweaked you here, Bob, or should we go right to the callers?
I understand his dilemma as far as wanting to help people, but I agree. I'd like to see everybody get helped, but I also like to see people help themselves, and I think that's what we need to do, is to educate people so that they know how to read, how to write, and how to work, and the willingness. They need the desire to be able to work. Mm-hmm. And some people don't want to because they know the system so well.
Lucho, no one's gonna argue with you that it's a shame that things are the way they are. Mm-hmm. How do we change them for people to be more responsive? Well, education, Bob says, that's the way to do it here. But it sort of reminds me. I still have to ask you, when I'm going to ask you the same question I asked my other high school teacher, Mary Duffield, a month or two after 9/11. I had Mary come into the studio here. I just love her. She's just the sweetest lady in the world, a pacifist from the get-go, you know. And I said, Mary, you know, do you still say, you know, no war, still say no violence? I mean, in light of what happened to 3,000 plus innocent people on 9/11, do you? And she said, yeah. And it's just, I don't understand. People, there's got to be a limit to how much someone can take before they explode, before you have to react. Now, what's your limit? I mean,
Mike, war is a war. It don't help nobody. Just only help people, construction, money involved,
sometimes
everything.
War is necessary.
Yeah, it's necessary. It's okay. But you can never fight all the time, you know. Why something happened in this country, nobody don't know. Why happen? You know, nobody don't know. I don't think a normal human being today he knows what's happened 11 September. Everybody talk about terrorism, everybody talk something else, but nobody knows the truth. Why many times America covered the truth. Nobody want to know.
Okay, here's someone who sent a fax directed to you.
Si.
Lucio, no war, no war, no war with question marks. Italy wasn't saying no war when they had the Germans up there behind. The Italians were pretty pro-U.S. war then, weren't they? That's what this fact says.
No, but Italia or Germania or Francia, when you do the war, you don't know what you do. You have a Mussolini in Italia, you have a Hitler. You know, I don't know what these people are doing before. I know at the time in life for thinking, but today I'm in life, I can see what's happening. You know, say you want to change, you know, Arabic, you want to change all the Middle East, you know, you have to have a patience. You have to have at least 3 or 4 or 5 generations for changing these people. You cannot change one country that day one. You know, it is very important. Say America want to be the number one country in the world, you have the thinking too. You cannot change one culture in one day, you know. I told you, Roman Empire, he have everything. He lost. English people, he colony. Any country in the world, why he owns the water. America owns everything. He cannot never be the number one country. He need everybody. He says he's smart the way he think. He can go help people and give where he have the gift. You know, love, everything.
Lucio.
That's all.
Lucio, why is it when you walk into your place, I walked into your restaurant the other day, and as soon as I came in there, you started saying, oh, he loves Bush. I mean, was that a bash on what I believe? I never said
I loved
Bush, but it's a matter of, this is the kind of thing.
No,
are you against Bush? Because it seems like you wouldn't vote for anybody.
No.
So Bush is just a good scapegoat or something where...
No,
you just want to
everybody wants
to
Bush. Why? America people is more for war. America people is devoted to war. It fight everywhere. Where is the money America go? Afghanistan is in there. Why is the drug money?
Let me ask
you. Go in Iraq. Why is the oil? You know, he never go in Mexico and save a life of these people. Why? Where do you have these people? They offer to America nothing.
Let me
why don't go in Africa? Is a million of people starving? Why America is the number one with big soul, big heart? You know, going there and saving these poor people? No, where the money, America? Blah, number one. You know, I beat the first one. I beat everybody. I'm strong. But this is, you know, this country is beautiful. Italia beautiful. But hey, you know what? When you come in Ardente or you see me, you know. Both laughing, everything, play, drum, guitar. You don't want everybody like this? No.
Of course
everybody
do.
Else come already, drunk.
Hey, Lucio.
Yeah.
There's an email. It says, hi for you. It says, hi from Italy. Message for Lucio on the air right now. Now, I'm not very good. It's in broken Italian, but
si.
I'm going to try. Okay, it says, ciao, Lucio. Somo Fausto. Come stai, stai, S-T-A-I.
Come stai?
Okay. Ti sto accolatando da internet, sai un mito.
Oh, grazie.
Ti ricordi di me, Fausto da Bologna.
Bologna.
Avevo una ragazza, Jennifer. Salutami online, ti prego. Arrivo in ottobre. E ti passeo a trovare.
Hey.
Signed Fausto.
Fausto. Grazie, Fausto.
So is he listening to us? Fausto listening to us on the internet in Italy?
Possibile. Wait,
oh, I see.
Lara Italian people, you know, is very interesting in America. I have a lot of students now in UCSC from Italy, from Bologna. Everybody have already degree, a PhD. Is it interesting? Everybody love America. It's not about hate America, you know. Maybe people hate the government, but you know, no people. You know, I love it, Bob.
But who do they go to when they need they need somebody's help? Who do they always go to?
KSCO.
That's right. Bravo, Mike.
Okay.
Bravo,
now, Mike. Now it's quarter before noon, and only 15 minutes remain in this edition of the KSCO Saturday Special. Got a lot of people waiting on the line. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bob, on line four.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Okay. I'd like to address my first statement to Bob. Bob, what do you teach and what subject do you teach?
I teach social studies and language arts, and I run the athletic program.
What school?
In the Watsonville area.
Aptos High, Watsonville High?
No, in Watsonville area.
Okay. Well, my daughter's a very capable teacher, too, and she teaches at Soquel High. And as Mike mentioned, I was a government teacher for 30 years, mostly at Santa Cruz High.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to address now is, say at the outset, that I'm not that fond of Mr. Kerry, but I think Bush is the worst president we've had since Warren Harding, and I'll tell you why. Let's start with his foreign policy. I'm not going to attack him personally. I don't care what he did in Vietnam, and I don't care what Kerry did in Vietnam. One of the first things that Mr. Bush said in the 2000 election is that he's not going to engage in nation building. That's exactly what he's doing in Iraq. And in attacking Iraq, he attacked a country which admittedly is a brutal dictatorship, but was no threat to us. As a matter of fact, the Iraqis had no use for the Al-Qaeda. They were loggerheads with them because they're a secular society. So what I'm saying is, we've attacked a country and over 1,000 young people are dead already, and how many more are going to die in this useless war, I don't know. So what do you have to say about that? And then I'd like to respond to your argument.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that my heart and my prayers are always with the families of the people who have died over in Iraq, and I support the troops tremendously. And at the same time, I think maybe what you're saying is that we had no right to go in there and help give some liberty to the people of Iraq.
I
think that's where we're going from. Because
I conceded that point to you in my opening argument. I think you're right about that. It was a brutal dictatorship. No question about that. But we're very selective as to which brutal dictatorships we go after. Right next in that same area in the former Soviet Republic of Uzbekistan, one of our allies, who's one of our allies, they throw people into boiling water when they don't agree with them politically. And if we want to liberate people, why don't we go into China and liberate China, who attacked Tibet? I mean, we're very selective about which dictators we don't like and which dictators oppress the people.
Well, that's probably true, and it depends on the administration that's in there, as it was in the Clinton administration. We didn't get much approval from many other countries, but we went into Bosnia. So, you know, I mean, we don't ask for wars, usually. They usually come to us, and when you're number one, it's like being on the number one team. They always want to break you down. You know, you can't stay on top forever, but we've been up there quite a while. And after the Cold War, we're the only ones left to go after.
Okay, Bob, I want to thank you for your call. We got to move on because we have quite a number of other callers, and appreciate your call to the Saturday special. There goes Bob and Soquel. Here comes Millie, wherever you are, Millie.
Yeah, thank you. Speaking of prominent women, since Heinz Kerry's financial interests have been brought up, I'll give only my understanding of the former caller's issue. Senator Heinz, the former husband of Heinz Kerry, was in full control of that huge corporation. With his death, however, his widow, Teresa, inherited a cool $500 million. And it was probably a type of prenuptial agreement since he had all of his fortune and corporation before he met and married her. It's a somewhat recent marriage, you know, 10 years or something. It was, I mean, Senator Heinz married to her. At any rate, she was not given any control or connection. She was not given any control or connection with the Heinz Corporation. The 500 mil was no doubt enough for almost anybody, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So consequently, the Carries really have no problem or connection with what the corporation does here or overseas, because she has nothing to do with the corporation.
Well, why are you whispering? Why don't you just talk into the microphone, Bob?
I thought she had some authority there.
Okay.
Of some sort.
Well,
I understand.
See if you can get Teresa Heinz Kerry on the line, if you can. And please, Aaron, okay, see if you can get Teresa Heinz Kerry on the line with us here. Okay, go. She'll be working on that. We'll thank Millie for her call. We'll go on to our next caller. That would be Pat in Santa Cruz. Pat. Hey, Pat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, you guys.
Hi.
I'll just make it brief. I'd recommend anybody that wants to get to the bottom of things, dieoff.org, if you have access to the internet. That's dieoff.org. It's been around for years. It hasn't even been updated for years, and it's still as contemporary as tomorrow. Dieoff.org. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for calling the Saturday special. Phone numbers are 479-1080, 477-1340. We would like to hear from you. Our special guests are Bob Seuss and Lucio Fani. We're talking about politics in general in this great country of ours. And our next caller will be Rory in Watsonville. Rory, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes, I'd like to ask Lucio. Is it Lucio?
Yeah, Lucio.
See.
Yeah, if America or the United States rubs you the wrong way so much, why did you have your daughter born over here?
Yeah.
He asked you a question. He's asking you if you're...
If you had so much trouble with the United States, why'd you bring your daughter over here to be born as a citizen?
No, I don't bring my daughter here. No. Maybe you misunderstand me before, why my Italian is more stronger. No, I don't bring my daughter here. His mama Americana. I met in Italy. I don't met here. I never come here. I come just 3 days before my daughter born. Why I'm a father, I'm a good father, I come in San Francisco, that's all.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems a little odd that you have such a problem with the United States, yet you've married an American woman, your daughter's a citizen, and so on and so forth. I mean, what's the issue?
No, no, I don't have any issue at all. The only problem I have is stay here now almost 18 years. Why I can never take my daughter and go back home? Why you you know, in America, you go in trouble, you can be arrested, what do you call, kidnapping, everything. I have to stay here for 18 years. You know, 18 years is a lot. You can see, you can look, everything. You know, these kids, what they're doing today. You know, I don't know how old you are, you know. You can see what they're doing, you know. Today is all about, you know, I see every single day, you know, in the bar, outside, you know. I'm a good papa. I check my daughter. I control my daughter. And today, you know, it's impossible. See, I'm not near. Maybe after today, now she's 18, November, she can be pregnant maybe at 13 or 12, you know. This is a, you know, big mistake, you know. This is why I'm here, you know, why I'm a good papa. That's all, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But it seems like you have some conflicting comments. I mean, you talk about, you say that America wants to be number one.
Yeah, no, America is true. You want to control too. You want to control me.
No, it's not a matter of wanting to be. We just happen to be because we're the largest economy, because we've done things right. So you know, you're kind of thrust into the position of being a leader.
No, no.
Not everybody liked it. I mean, there were plenty of people that didn't want to go into World War One or World War Two.
Yeah, no, no.
They didn't want to take the responsibility, and we had to pull Europe's butt out of the sling twice in the 20th century. And they're falling back into it now. They got low birth rates. They're letting the Muslims come in and drove. And Europe's gonna be depopulated of its own native population here in another generation if they're not careful. And I, you know, I'm half Italian by descent.
Yeah, no, but you know, today
it's embarrassing to look at it.
No, but today, you know, making kids in this world is not easy, you know, it's very dangerous. You know, a lot of people, you know, make enough money for raise one kid or two in America.
I know, but Lucio, I mean, if you're fearful at the outset, you're never going to do anything. I mean, if I started a family almost 18 years ago like you did, and I have 9 kids.
No, I have one more kid.
Children, what else do you
I have one more son. My son is 34. Hey, my son is 34, 26 September. Yeah, I'm a grandpa.
That's,
you know,
great.
When I started my family too young, at 21 and a half.
Yeah, but that's not too young. That's just right.
Okay. See, time is young, you know, but I make money, I take care of my family, everything. But, see, I ever started today, you know, make a family, raise kids. I don't know, you know, I'm scary. You know,
that's
what kind of society I give you.
Yeah, but life's always scary. There's always going to be challenges. The thing
wait a minute.
You know? We didn't pick this fight with the Arab. Okay, the Arab lunatic.
Hey, Rory. Right.
Yeah.
Rory, thank you.
Better, yeah. Okay, ciao, later. Grazie.
Okay, now, the phone lines are jammed now at the end of the program. Dear Lucio, this is a fax. As a longtime friend of yours in Capitola, I am stunned that you're slamming the U.S. As the highly principled person I know you to be, I think you should vote with your feet. Will your ducat make it back to Italy? If not, see below. And it's a airline ticket, Pan American Airlines, and it's to Lucio, one way to Italy. Ciao, baby, it says, and it's signed Surprised Cereal. That's the cereal faxer.
Yeah, it's so easy for everybody, you know. This is the opinion. It's a landed speech. It's a free country. Everybody can tell everything you want, but nobody agree all the time with me. Okay. This is my point, you know. Quindi, I don't think this is fair. Say somebody open mind. Say somebody see different than everybody else. Why he grow up in different country?
Okay.
I don't get it, you know.
Someone's on line 3. Is that someone, Sal?
Yeah.
Hi, Sal. You're on the air on KSU.
Can I speak with Lucio, please?
He's there.
Sono qua. I'm here.
Senti, Lucio,
fai
molto bene a parlare di queste cose, perché gli americani fanno una confusione col...
Now, wait a minute. For all I know, there could be swear words going on that could endanger my license here at KSU. Now, this isn't right. You need to translate if you're going to...
Dobbiamo parlare un po' in inglese e un po' in italiano. Ti ringrazio.
Ti ringrazio anche per essere qui da noi.
Still don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, okay. Tu puoi parlare in inglese?
Okay.
Sì, parla in inglese perché Mike vuol sapere esattamente cosa mi stai dicendo.
Yes.
Sì. e la gente vuol sapere, perché a volte non mi riesce a capire, non riesce a capire i miei valori, e non riesce a capire.
John with a joke. John, you're on the air.
Hey.
John, you're on the air.
No, I tried to explain it.
Yeah. Go ahead with your joke, John.
Yeah, here's my joke, John. I mean, Mike.
Uh-huh.
The guy's sitting in the doctor's waiting room.
Yeah.
This woman runs screaming out of the examination room down the hall.
Okay.
He rushes into the examination room, goes, "Doctor, what the heck happened to that woman?" Doctor says, "Well, she's 85 years old, and I just told her that she was pregnant." And the guy goes, "Doctor, she's 85 years old, she's pregnant, that's impossible." The doctor says, "I know that, but it sure cured her hiccups."
Great.
Nice going.
Hey, Gordon in Aptos, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi. I just wanted to compare Saddam Hussein with El Duce. I guess, though, that since America follows the money, like, you know, the money from drugs in Afghanistan and the oil money in Iraq, therefore, I guess they had to follow the pizza pie to remove El Duce with our blood of our boys, huh?
Maybe. Okay, let's see what's online. Who's on line one? Who is this?
Hi, this is Brother Darrell. I was wondering if I could talk to Michael Zerling.
Who's
on
speaking?
The air.
Oh, off the air?
Yeah, off the air.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll put you on hold there. By the way, it's the end of the program. Thank you guys for coming to the radio station.
Thank you, Mike.
Today. Yeah, we had sort of a fun time, didn't we? Sort of, huh? But so I have to figure out how to end this thing officially, and here it is. I think I just pushed this button here. And that's all, folks, right?
Stand by. That's all, folks.
It's KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. Here is USA News, and we'll see you next week.
USA Radio Network News. Kurt Lewis reporting. The U.S. is not the only nation girding up for an election at a campaign stop in Afghanistan today. Interim President Hamid Karzai, running for the job on a full-time basis, faces questioners. They want to know how that nation can hold elections when it is virtually still an armed camp.
With regard to disarmament, it will take place all over the country. There is no way for Afghanistan but disarmament. If Afghanistan wants to be a nation state with institutions of government and state, it has to disarm, it has to have an army that is under the control of the state.
If the October election comes off as planned, it'll be Afghanistan's first ever free election, coming less than 3 years after the nation was liberated from the Islamic fundamentalist Taliban movement by a U.S.-led coalition of forces. Back in the U.S., the one-time Hurricane Ivan not quite gone and certainly not forgotten.
We're still dealing with the remnants of Ivan, now located near Richmond, Virginia, spreading heavy rainfall from northern North Carolina through much of southern New England. Additional rainfall amounts of 1 to 2 inches are likely today, which could cause areas of flash flooding through Saturday evening. I'm WeatherBug meteorologist Matt Milosevic.
The violent remains of Ivan pounding a large swath of the eastern U.S. yesterday, drenching an area from Georgia to Ohio, washing out homes, sweeping cars off roadways, and trapping more than 100 kids at an elementary school. They were all okay. This is USA Radio Network News.
A little-known story from Christian history. Fascinating, intriguing, and sometimes heart-wrenching. Travel back to the 13th century with author C.D. Baker to the Children's Crusade, where 50,000 children falsely inspired.